Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CT&C 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big money on your next painting project. Now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Rotatoes, welcome back. I hope you're having a fantastic time. We are here for episode 8, part 1. And all I want to say at the top of this episode is that I hope that you're having a fantastic day and that you've remembered to drink some water, because I feel like not enough times do we remember to just take care of ourselves. You're already doing a great job, obviously, by listening to this episode, so I want to say congratulations on that, but you could probably do a little better, so why not crack open a cool glass of water? I don't know why you need to crack it open if you're just going to put it in a glass. I didn't really think that through, but you know what? It's the drinking, really, that matters, no matter how or what receptacle you use to... Anyway, take it away, past me.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes Podcast.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes Podcast, everybody. I am Jasper William Cartwright, your GM, and I am joined by the very nervous trio of this arc. That is George Primavera.
Not nervous, so confident. It's going to be great.
Yeah, he seems fine.
Yeah, I'm honestly concerned about how confident George seems.
Yeah.
I feel great about it.
Aaron Keefe.
What's up? I'm not nervous either.
Yeah, see?
Lies.
Do you feel the power in it?
Yeah.
Tasty lies.
I'm not nervous.
And the truly quaking in his boots, John Mackey.
Shit. I'm good, dude. I'm good.
He's good.
I'm good. Good.
Everyone's good.
Yeah.
Lucian's like, I'm not good. I'm definitely not good. This is bad.
Yeah, you're a head. He's just a little head.
It's bad. Well, listen, I'm not going to... I don't want to waste any more time. Let's just go ahead and get into this. So, Vox Vinny, take it away.
Deep Space Recap.
Vox Vinny here, crackling across the sub-ether with tonight's bite-sized bulletin of beautiful bedlam. Picture it. A drowned, boiling catacombs of Anvil and the pirate, vampire, salt father, who's all title and no names. Dangling our 3.5 heroes over a boiling abyss before yeeting poor Ember into darkness, all to make a point. His offer? Plant my void bomb aboard the luxury liner and wait precisely 2 hours and 31 minutes after you board whilst we're tucked away in Anvil's shadow. And maybe if you do that, I'll stop ruining your lives. So, what does our trio of tumultuous decisions do? They make 3 plans. Do they mix and match those plans to get the best parts of each? No. Do they pick one plan that they think might be the safest? No. They decide to do all 3. At once. Shady Hot Hand is going to book a high roller suite and be all swagger and family credit. Ollie is going to fold himself into a crate of spa towels and pop out as a personal masseur with a staff badge. And Tundra, pure shadow, vent crawling, bomb shuffling, and eyes fixed only on one prize. 3 paths to the Grand Solarium, 1 synchronized boom, and a fallback that reads, steal the ship, fry the salt father in Vagrolite, avenge Ember, profit. The blueprints are stamped. Egos are keyed, and that void bomb is ticking louder than my tinnitus. Will our disaster darlings nuke the magic? hijack the ride, or end up as vampire hors d'oeuvres. Tune those crystals, folks. The next broadcast decides whether we'll be celebrating in starlight or screaming in the dark. Roll high or roll into the void. So, our trio sees through the smoke as one Urinal Turlet steps forward and looks and says, "You gotta be kidding me.
Hey,
what the hell are you doing here?"
"Coming to save some people, buddy. Coming to save some, save the world. I'm a world saver now."
"What do you mean you're because you're going to build the Citadel, right?"
"Hmm?"
And he sort of like is like nodding towards like the driver who's like still in, because that's what you're planning, right, bud?
"Mm-hmm."
"Right?"
"Yes."
"Save the world of the, you know, and join the Citadel and be amongst the children, right?"
"Exactly, yes. Exactly that, yes."
"Good. Good. I'm glad that we solved that. We got that. That's awesome. That's great. Thank you. I'll take him from here. We'll get him up and onto the ship. Okay. Okay, great. Your old pal, your blob of ooze.
He's just an ooze.
With a very angry cat inside of it.
Yeah.
He kind of bids you a farewell as you step off and into this tunnel.
"See you later, Davish."
Davish is already gone. There's another magma flare, and just immediately, like, goes, just takes off. So Davish disappears, along with his moody cat.
"Seen that guy in so long."
And you see, a couple of hundred feet down the tunnel, there is some light spilling in, and you can hear, like, a hustle and bustle of a... It sounds like there's a sort of a lively kind of crowd or sort of, you know, goings-on, basically, down the end of the tunnel. But anyway, you are stood there with Yernal, and he turns around and says, "So, what the fuck are you doing here? Why do you have the box?"
And then Shaddy, finally remembering that he's supposed to keep cover here because he's not sure what's going on, it's just like, "We're going to blow up this ship."
"Okay, now it's just us. See, the time to do that would have been a moment ago when we were still with one of those fuckers. Not now." "Shaddy, dude, I need you to concentrate, okay? This is serious."
"Hey, man, I'm trying to concentrate, okay? This is just a lot of pressure on me. I've never been in a situation like this before. I know you're, like, king of the castle, high school quarterback kind of guy, okay? But this is a big deal for me, okay? By the way, these are my friends."
"Hey, how you doing?"
"Yeah, you guys look a lot alike. You have the same nose."
"What's this guy's name? What'd you say, Shaddy?"
"Urinal."
"Urinal."
"Urinal. This is Ollie."
"Ollie."
"This is Tundra."
"Nice to meet you, Tundra."
"This is my brother, Urinal."
"A pleasure. Hi."
"I'm Ollie."
"Hello.
How are you doing?" And I think you immediately kind of feel just sort of the, you know, the calm, kind of slightly smooth charm that just sort of effortlessly seems to fall off of Urinal. He's an extremely handsome, sort of tall, broad-shouldered young man who kind of seems to carry himself with a level of confidence of someone who has truly breezed through life without almost any difficulties.
Can I look at Shaddy and Tundra and give them the look that I give them when I want them to grab somebody? Can I give them a look that says, "Grab him"?
You can certainly try. Why don't you go ahead and roll me a persuasion check, we'll say.
Oh, okay, sure.
And we'll see how well you communicate, "Grab him."
It's a dirty 20. Can I look over and just be like,
"Yeah, okay. I'll say that you guys get..." Ollie is clearly gesturing for you guys to grab Urinal.
I do it.
Shaddy's kind of like taken aback by what's going on because he was just like... He kind of, in the presence of his older brother, kind of gets this like...
Gets small.
You know, he turns into a little guy. But seeing Tundra do that, he just immediately assumes like, this is what we're supposed to do, and he goes for it also.
Okay, all of you roll strength checks. This is basically pointless. But, you know, Yernal's a strong athlete, so let's see. You never know.
I rolled a nat one.
Oh, no. No.
What'd you get?
26.
Hell yeah. You got him.
What did Ollie get?
I'm not going to grab him. I am going to get ready to cast Zone of Truth.
Oh, sure.
You're smart.
Shadi, you immediately trip on your own shoelace, which has become undone, and just sort of fall. You don't like fall even to the ground. You kind of do that awkward thing where you hit into the wall that you're right next to and just kind of slide down it, kind of awkwardly, unable to rectify the situation. And Tundra just immediately gets the nod from Ollie, drops down low like an animal, and just shoulder tackles, like spear tackles, full edge style, this man who takes the hit like pretty well. He's quite used to getting hit like this, but even still, it's like, you can tell he's pretty rocked. He's like, what the hell? Why? Why are you attacking me now? What's going on?
It's fine. It'll be fine in like 10 minutes.
Oh, God. But you're really with them. Because if you are, God, fuck, I don't have to kill my brother. Please don't make me kill my brother. Please. Listen.
Don't worry. We're all going to get on the same page right now. And I'm going to cast Zone of Truth centered on Journal and Tundra.
What is the save, please?
It's a charisma saving throw. DC is 14. I know if they succeed or fail. Okay. And they can choose to fail.
That is a success.
Okay, and I'm going to tell him, like, you're going to need to let your guard down if we're going to verify that you're okay.
What do you mean if I'm going to verify that I'm okay? This isn't just like a one-way...
This is something they taught us in medical school when we're trying to get a patient to be honest about what's ailing them in case they're being dodgy about it.
Okay, awesome.
I'm using it a little liberally here and violating every oath I made when I went into medical school, but it's really working out. I can tell if you're resisting the effects of the spell.
Right, which I am, of course. I don't know what the fuck is going on right now. And the last thing that I need is for you guys. I don't know who you are. I know who you are, obviously, Shadi.
Thank you.
You know, making this situation is extremely precarious, and I don't know who you are or what your intentions are. So
I understand you being nervous about us. What I'm saying is we go no further until we verify that you're telling us the truth.
I don't think that's entirely true, I'm afraid, because the thing is like you have a limited time to get that box on board that ship, or we are either going to set off a bomb inside of a magical city or be swarmed by thousands of undead monsters. So I'm happy to sit here for an hour and a half, 2.5 hours if you really want to, but I'm guessing you don't want to do that.
I turn to Shadi and I say, is he bluffing?
You can roll me insight check with advantage, Shadi.
I can, okay.
Because you know your brother quite well.
Let's see, 16.
16, pretty good. Headphones, please, Aaron and George. Thank you.
Oh, brother.
Literally. you haven't seen Yona like nervous before. And so I think that kind of throws you off for a second. But I think you look as Yona has this like tell when he's like kind of like, I think he would do this thing like when he was playing around with you when you were younger. There was always like a moment where like one of you would take it too far. And he'd have this, like, his, like, one eyebrow would kind of narrow a little bit more than the other. And all the younger kids kind of knew, like, oh, we fucked up. We need to stop now. Okay. You know what I mean?
So, like, I assume, like, he's serious about this. Like, we're really fucking up, and he's mad.
He's dead fucking serious. Yeah, okay. Yeah. He's dead fucking serious, and he's mad. And I think you know he has a temper.
Yeah.
So, like, likely the situation ends with him just like he would fight you and probably just lose, like, right. He's that kind of guy.
Right. Okay, cool, great.
How'd it go?
What do you think, Shadi?
Shadi kind of like in a moment senses what his brother is like saying, and then like kind of moves in and like pulls Tundra off of him and like sort of and pushes kind of Tundra and Ollie back, being like, everybody needs to just relax, all right?
Correct.
Everybody just needs to chill out. Okay? Crazy shit. You have to understand something here, Urinal.
Mm-hmm.
We spent the last, I don't even know how long, in the tunnels with these vampires, and we don't know who to trust anymore.
What?
All we know is, we know what we have, we know what they're trying to do, and we know what we want to try to do in the aftermath, okay? And it's just, everything is just a little, I'll say that, above my fucking pay grade.
dude, you're supposed to be on like vacation right now. Mom and Dad literally gave you an unlimited amount of money to just chill. What the fuck?
I don't want to do that anymore.
Tundra looks at him like kind of embarrassingly, like, what are you doing here with us in that box if you have that opportunity?
Okay, and don't judge my brother. I can see your eyes back there, okay?
No, I'm not.
But like hearing Urinal be like, you're just supposed to just like be invisible and you're supposed to go and just be away really like really pisses Shaddy off. And so Shaddy just kind of grabs him by the shirt. And it's just like, don't treat me like this anymore, okay? I'm an adult now. I know how to live my life. I know what I want to do, okay? And I'm not going to let you sit here and control me anymore, all right? You're just like Mom and Dad, just like handsome and like charismatic and like more my age. But you're just like them, really.
He looks down at your hand that's gripping onto his shirt and then just sort of slowly looks back up. One eyebrow fully cocked, just sort of staring at you like the audacity of this man. And he leans round the side of you, looking at the other two, and goes, don't worry, I'm not going to hurt him, but he needs this. I need you to roll me an opposed athletics check because he's going to basically try and like pick you up and dump you onto the ground.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit, that's a nat 20.
Oh, fuck. I rolled a 17.
17. I think like... he goes to pick you up and definitely struggles way more than he was anticipating. Like, you put up a much bigger fight than you've ever put up in your life. And I think there's a point where you, like, nearly get him. But he fully, like, plants you on your back, gets, like, your arms all tied up, kind of sits on your chest and is, like, in your face, like, do you yield? Do you yield? Yeah, this is like a standard thing that used to happen when he would get you like, and he's like trying to like twist your wrist a little bit. So it hurts, but not like a lot. And he's just like, do you yield?
I'm going to kick him off of Shaddy. What's happening here? No, you're not going to break his arm.
Go ahead and make me attack roll.
We're about to go to a mission. He's going to twist the wrist of the person we need on this mission? Absolutely not.
I don't really think he needs his wrist to be fed a lobster. You know what I mean?
Well, I'd net one. Well, fuck.
Of course, though.
Shaddy, you're just on the floor, and for some reason, you just hear Ollie go, get off him, and run past.
Yeah.
Like, from your perspective, all that happens, he runs past. Tundra, you see Ollie, like, wind up a big haymaker kick and just fully whiff past this large man.
Get off of him! Yeah, eat shit. Oh, fuck.
Oh, buddy, that is not good. That was a bad look for you.
Oh, you could help.
What do you do, Shaddy? What do you want to do? You can absolutely choose to fight back if you want.
No, I yield. I yield. He's put me in my place. So Shaddy's like, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, listen. I'm sorry that I reacted aggressively. The problem is, I got pissed when you said I was like Mom and Dad, okay? That was too far.
Yeah.
And I think that deep down you know that's too far, okay? So... we can draw a line under that. That's fine. You, sir, points back at Ollie. You need to calm down, okay?
I'm getting up. I will not calm down. I don't know you, man.
What do you mean? I don't know you, man. Like, why is it a different rule for you?
Because there's three of us and one of you, pal.
Yeah, but I'm worth, like, two people. Like, at least that's what I've been told all of my life.
Shaddy turns to Ollie and he's just like, it's not worth it, man.
Sorry, your brother's getting under my skin.
That's where he lives.
Listen, your friend's getting under my skin.
I had cellies half as annoying as that guy.
Shaddy starts crying.
I want to take out both my swords as a way to like scare everybody, to just get everybody in a tantrum in your place. Hey.
Whoa, okay.
Hey.
Uh-huh, yep.
Enough.
Yep, you got it.
Okay, sorry.
You okay, Shaddy?
Shaddy's wiping tears out of his eyes, like looking kind of away from everybody so they don't see that he got emotional.
She hands him a handkerchief.
he just pushes it away. He's like, I don't...
he keeps handing it.
He takes it and then just like wipes his eyes and then like throws it on the ground.
Yeah.
I love that it blows his nose and Tundra immediately regrets the decision to give him. Like, I don't want my handkerchief back. That's fine.
Okay, listen. Cards on the table. I have a very important role to play in what's going to happen today. and it needs to go off without a hitch. If anything goes wrong in this plan, and I mean anything, a lot of people are gonna die. Like a lot of people. Okay? So I am trying to mitigate that loss of life in this scenario. So when you come charging out of this thing at me, demanding that I tell you all the truth, you can understand that puts me in a bit of a weird position when I feel responsible for the lives of like 50,000 people or something, okay? It's a lot. So
telling the truth makes you feel like you'd be putting those people in danger because why? You don't trust us?
Listen, I don't trust you. I have no idea what you've been up to all summer, okay? Because you're not where you're supposed to be, pointing at Shadi.
I've been working.
Okay, but you shouldn't have been working. You were told the one thing you were told not to do was work. Anyway, you two, never met you before in my life, could have any number of motives. For all I know, you could have been keeping my brother hostage. Okay? I don't trust you. Absolutely not. No way.
Oh, man.
The problem I have is that we have a literal time bomb right there. Okay? That's what I'm focused on. That's what I care about.
Say more in specific terms. What's your plan?
Okay, you have to understand that in my line of business, speaking plainly is not often the best because usually it results in people trying to stab you in the back. Trust me, I speak from experience. Both of my parents have done it to me on multiple occasions.
You guys need family therapy.
I promise you, the Turlets don't even have enough money to fund that therapy session. Like, it would be, there's too much to unpick.
You know, that's a classic guard to throw up, but really it could help you guys. You know what I mean?
I'm going to need you to stop judging me, okay, pal?
I know someone. If you...
Okay, you see, he does that.
There's the contact information that I have. A friend of mine does this professionally.
I saw a therapist in prison. It really changed how I looked at my time incarcerated. It's...
As Ollie's talking about him doing therapy, you can see he's like visibly getting wound up and does the Henry Cavill thing where he reloads his arms and it's just like getting jittery, just like,
whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, it's okay. Okay.
Shadi jumps in. He's like, everybody chill out. Honestly.
I go to my sword. Shane. It's probably fine.
Hang on. I've always heard that for therapy to work, people have to want to change. And I don't think my family wants to change. So it's pointless.
Goddamn right, I don't want to change. I want to enact some revenge and get some payback and get some money and get the fuck away from as many of these people, bar Shadi, probably. Honestly, Shaddy's like the only one at this point that I can still stand, okay? Look, fucking zone of truth or whatever, that's the truth, okay? That's honestly the truth.
I mean, you say zone of truth, but you're still resisting my spell.
Yeah, of course I'm still resisting your spell because I'm not a freaking idiot!
Right, but I mean, you know... Stop resisting the spell, say that, and then step out of the area, and we're cool.
Listen, my guy, I don't know what your name is, okay? Listen, I don't know who
I'm
you
Ollie.
Are or where you come from. Okay, whatever, don't care. Listen, how about this? Why don't you start with some truth, and then maybe I could reciprocate with some, but it's kind of hard to start this relationship off with you being all like, meh, 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 you tell me everything.
Yeah, what do you want to know? We'll tell you. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Fuck are you doing here? No one has answered this question.
We're taking care of this box. We're putting it on the ship, and we're going to figure out a way to get it off of the ship before it explodes.
Okay, fine. We don't need to do that.
Why?
Because I've programmed this to do a specific task. As long as it has not been tampered with in any way, shape, or form.
Right. I'm so glad we're getting this opportunity to talk to you. It has absolutely been damaged. I dropped it from like 7 feet off the ground. It went off. I had a heart attack because it stopped the magic from pumping through my chest that's keeping me alive. And now you're probably gonna... See, this is why we're honest with each other right out the gate. Problem solved quickly. We're on a clock, Yurnal.
He goes full like Freud rage and just goes, fuck! And just starts punching the wall.
Fuck! Fuck! We wasted 5 minutes wrestling on the ground and yielding, and we could have been solving this.
Okay, I gotta remember what Coach Bruce told me. In through your nose, out through your nose, or... fuck, I don't even remember. Shit!
Also, don't take advices from your coaches.
Why? They're the only people in this world I can trust, okay? They have my back, and they know what I need.
Just tempers, you know.
Okay, here we go. I need to get inside that box to check it. Fuck. Am I even, I don't even know. I had a whole fucking plan. Okay?
I said about opening it.
No, not fucking now. Are you crazy? Jeez, like, I can't tamper with it now. We're in a magical city. We're literally in an upside down pyramid that is being held up by raw magic. If that thing goes off here, the whole fucking city collapses. Jesus, engage your brain. You already dropped it once.
Right. Is there a safe place you have in mind where you could fix this?
On the ship.
I guess that's a pretty good idea.
Okay, listen. My plan is, this bomb was made to go off, but instead of creating a void or whatever the fuck you managed to make it do, it was designed to remove people. My plan was to set this bomb off. It envelops the entirety of the ship and it bamps all people onto a separate harmless location in Anvil. Everyone's kind of confused in the middle of the desert. They get picked up because they're all fucking rich, and the vampires get their fucking citadel, and I get to do a big fuck you to my parents. I make a shitload of money, and I get to retire without ever having to talk to any of those shit heels again.
So you just want to let the vampires have the ship?
Yes, but without killing everyone on board, obviously. I'm not a monster, Jesus. I was just giving them the ship.
But then they're gonna ravage the galaxy aboard a cruise ship and kill people from planet to planet.
Yeah, everyone's gonna die.
They're grossly underestimating just how many safety protocols my parents put in place on this ship. Like, if they try and approach a full planet, if they ruck up to Mardeen with this ship, they're gonna get fucking nuked out of the sky.
I don't know. Have you talked to the Salt Father yet? Because he inspired something in me while I was standing in opposition.
Yeah, I'll admit he's pretty scary, and I didn't feel great about the deal in the first place. But I figured that, you know, there's plenty of pirates out there that will probably take care of him. So
listen, I can tell Shaddy's the smart one of the family because what's sounding like is you made a deal with a pirate vampire king and are expecting him to hold up his end of the deal 100%.
He doesn't need to. I'm not holding up my end of the deal. He's expecting me to short out the magic.
So you did make a deal with him and you're not holding up your end of the deal?
Yes, because I'll already be fucking out of there. Gone. Untraceable.
I don't know if that's how deals with the Salt Father work, actually.
Trust me, if you had the parents I have, 10 times more terrifying than the Salt Father. I am more scared about betraying my parents than I am this fucking Scythe wannabe fairground attraction dude, okay? They have more money than, like, God, you know?
I just know that kind of promise, if broken, typically results in a pretty swift retribution, Urinal. Do you know what you signed up for?
I didn't make a fucking blood pact or anything stupid like that.
Okay, well then you should know because of some more truth that we're experiencing. And I point to Shaddy.
You see, like, there are three veins in his head which are at, like, maximum capacity. You can hear them creaking under the amount of blood that is going through as he goes, "What now?"
So, I kind of made a blood pact with a vampire.
What?
Motherfucker! he just
starts, like, just fully throwing a tantrum around this tunnel. Just, like, effing and blinding.
What do you mean? Why?
If we don't follow through with this plan and help them do this, then that'll break the oath, the pact. And I think a lot of bad stuff will probably happen to me. So if that guy's still alive...
Oh my god!
I'm pretty fucked.
Oh god, this is so fucked. This is so fucked.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so fucked.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay, so what is your plan? What is your plan, guys? What's the deal here?
Why have a plan when you can have
three plans?
I'm
so close to leaving and just pretending that today doesn't happen. Like, I'm there mentally. So I need you to talk me down off the ledge because I feel like I'm on a precipice.
Jasper, can I ask a question with them taking their headphones off?
Yes, what? Absolutely.
I just have a quick question.
What?
Damn it.
Yes, please.
Oh, man.
Please, please, please.
Please be honest about this. I have the impulse to kill him.
To kill you?
Yeah. Okay. As one of the souls.
Okay.
I don't want it to be insane amount of chaos.
Uh-huh.
Is that stupid?
Honestly, the answer to that question absolutely lies within Tundra. Like, whether she thinks it's stupid or not is entirely up to Tundra. I will say... You can roll me an intelligence check, though.
Okay. Well, I botched. So, one minus one.
One minus one for zero?
Yeah.
I think you think it's a good idea.
Okay, okay. We'll just put in here that I'm planting that seed. I think I'm going to do that later.
Okay.
Oh, goodness. Love to see Erin cover her face in her shirt. That's a great sign. That's good.
Oh, no. I looked away on purpose. Oh, no.
Smart. I didn't want you to read my lips.
Yeah. You hit it. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have three plans. Okay, and I guess the reasoning for this is that if one of you fails, the other two at least will be able to get the job done.
Exactly. Thank you.
So yes. How are you all going to have access to the box? Because that's an essential part of this working, right? Is that you'll all have access to the box somehow?
We're all going to meet at a certain point onto the box. We're going to have the location from Tundra, and then when the time comes after we find out what's going on above deck, we'll go down to the box and figure out how we can either A, deactivate it. Now that I think you're there, I think we can use you in this plan.
I can deactivate it.
To be a more reliable source of deactivating it, assuming we can trust you, which I only have a few minutes left of that zone of truth spell, man. It would really make all of us feel a lot better if you would just go in there.
Okay, let me know when you got 30 seconds left, okay? And then you can get like one question in or something.
Deal.
That you can think about.
I don't even need to ask you a question. If you would just go in there and say some things to make us feel better, I don't need to press you for info, man.
Fuck it. Okay. And he walks in, chooses to fail, and just goes, I just want to make sure that whatever we do doesn't result in the death of those people, and wow, holy shit.
Which people?
Wait. I didn't realize I felt this way, but I guess I do. Doesn't result in the death of everyone on board, more importantly, the death of my brother.
Shaddy starts bawling.
Fuck it, not now, Shaddy, okay? Can talk about this later.
Sorry.
And are you planning on betraying either myself or this, our friend here, Tundra?
If I had any thoughts that your actions might jeopardize this mission, I would betray you in a heartbeat.
Okay, yeah, I can live with that.
That's only if our missions misalign.
Great. Then I think we're good.
It feels like the only situation, the only option that we have here is, fuck, killing the Salt Father, right? That's the only key, that's the only solution we have now to get out of this scenario?
At a certain point, it does seem like that's going to be the thing.
Killing the Salt Father and, like, his thousands of other vampires throughout the galaxy.
Motherfucker. Okay. Okay. I have maybe an idea. If you can get the box on board, tell me where it is. I will try and rig it so that it goes off, doing some harmless sensory effect, but giving the impression that it's gone off. So hopefully the vampires approach whilst the systems, the ship's defenses are still active. That's probably the only way that we avoid mass casualties, and we can then figure out some way to get the Salt Father on his own to kill him. Fuck, this is insane. This is crazy. You saw this guy, right? He's a scythe for a fucking arm.
Yeah, you made light of that earlier, but it was one of the more impressive parts about his persona.
Because that was when I was talking about it in a more ethereal kind of sense, not in a fucking one-to-one, hand-to-hand combat sort of situation. Obviously, in that situation, I'd rather take my dad.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like he didn't have, if he didn't have that awesome name, the Salt Father, I'd call him, like, Captain Scythe or something.
Yeah, I'd call him something equally fucking terrifying, you know? Fuck.
The Great Fang, something like that.
Okay, stop. You could just, come on, man.
The Fang
Please.
Of the North Nebula.
Who are you helping?
I'm workshopping.
Who?
I feel like I could, I'm feeling like I'm developing secondary skills.
That's amazing. That's a great time. Well, let's see if we all fucking survive this. Oh, man. Okay.
All right, Shady, your brother's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad I've got your seal of approval. Like, so glad. And whilst I'm in the zone of truth, I'm gonna tell you something for free. I want to punch you so fucking badly.
If it makes you feel better, you want to take a swing?
Yes, that would 100% make me feel better.
Go ahead.
Natural 19 for a 26.
That'll hit.
That is 8 points of damage.
8 points? Cool.
He hits you in the shoulder, like, dislocating it.
I go to my healer's kit, I take a cloth, and I pop my shoulder back in and use one use of my healer's kit to spend a hit dice.
Love it.
Feel better? Got that out of your system?
He visibly calms down. He, like, visibly chills out.
All right, are we cool, man?
Yeah, Coach Brown said that'll work. Awesome, thank you.
All right, we're on the same team now. We got this.
Okay, fuck. I don't feel good about it. I'm gonna be honest, I don't feel great about it, but... Chatty, man. I know you're trying to do the right thing, man. I do. I get it. I felt it, too. Like, I feel it all the time. Like, it's constant. Like, needing to do something to prove that you're good enough. I know that you always have thought, you know, oh, Urinal's top of the class. Urinal's this. Urinal's, you know, class president. He's the, you know... Dude, it's never enough. The mountain just keeps getting taller. There's another peak. Always. Stop trying, dude. Please. You have to stop trying. Just, like, do whatever the fuck you want to do. Because these people that we have been cursed to have as parents are never going to accept you. Never.
Chatty, like, hears all that. And he's like... Okay.
But you know what would be kind of cool, though? Maybe we should work this out so that, like, Mom and Dad see us kill the Salt Father. You know what I mean?
Whoa.
Because we could kind of spin this. You know what I mean? It's like we fucking saved their lives. Like, maybe we could get them to a situation where they're, like, shitting their pants and they're like, oh, fuck, we're gonna die. And then fucking in comes Urinal and Shady and saves their fucking lives. You know what I mean?
That sounds pretty sick.
Or, and then Tundra sort of slides the card for the therapy sort of in between.
You see that he just reflexively just eats the card.
Okay, perfect. That makes sense.
We kind of do that. It's a thing our family does with cards.
I actually think, like, every time the word therapy has been mentioned, you've seen both Shady and Urinal just, like, actively start twitching. Like, they've been, like, it's like their sleeper cell activation, like, word just to, like, start attacking people. Like, they just really respond negatively to the word therapy. Well, shit, we gotta go. And quickly, how are you guys? I'm not even gonna fucking ask. How will you let me know where the box is?
Why don't you travel with Chatty? You guys rent a room together.
I'm already on board the ship, so I can go wherever I need to go. I'm listed as an engineer on the ship.
Oh, then just stay with your brother and maybe talk, maybe open up.
He starts barking at you, and he sounds exactly like an actual dog.
Hey. For show, it's just...
Newspaper. Whap!
Part of the playing of it.
He pisses on your leg.
Oh, classic.
What is happening?
Okay, sure. I will go with Chatty, and at whatever point I'll do my best with this. I'll try and get it done before we take off, just so that we don't end up in a situation where something does go wrong. Oh, man, this is awesome. This is going to be awesome. We're going to be fine. This is going to be fine. 100% fine. Are you ready? Shall we go?
Yeah, don't bark anymore. Let's go.
I didn't mean to, I'll be honest. But, you know, it's just sort of in there somewhere.
All right, how are we getting there?
We'll just head up to the docks, you fucking moron. How else would you get there?
I turn to Tundra and I go, I'm going to push this guy over the precipice.
Yeah. I'm getting close too.
As you're like walking out of the tunnel, he just leans down to you, Shadi, and goes, man, listen, this thing, you know, Tur made this? Fuck, it's so good. It's so good.
Wait, what? The box thing? The thing in the box?
Yeah. You know, Tur is like the youngest Turlet brother.
Damn.
Yeah, it's, man, it's incredible.
Doing pretty good, huh?
Dude, he's like crazy talented. Like this guy, seriously.
Sorry, is your brother's name is Tur Turlet?
You're missing his middle name.
What's his middle name?
D.
Turdy Toilet.
What the fuck did you just say? Did you say toilet?
I said the name that you said.
Did you say toilet? Did you fucking say?
No.
Zone of truth right now? Zone of truth right now? I'm gonna fucking kill you. I'm gonna fucking Shadi, hold me back. Hold me back, Shadi.
I'm holding you back.
Hold me back.
I'm I don't know how to talk to this guy anymore. He's got a hair trigger. I walk ahead. I'm gonna go find the towels. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, good. Okay, bye.
Put her hands in. Not you, man.
Yeah, fuck you. Enjoy your towels.
The three of us. Dream team.
Yeah.
Dream team. Chosen family, right?
Yeah, no, fuck you. I'm not touching your hand. It probably smells like shit. Yeah, that's right.
Tundra, Shadi, I'll see you guys on the other side.
Where are we meeting, by the way?
Let's meet, that's a good question. Let's try to meet, there as close as we can to cargo. That is a public area.
Okay.
Like a public gathering area where it wouldn't be weird. It's a cruise ship, right? There's got to be like a bar nearby or like some kind of concourse.
Yeah, do we look at the we have the blueprints, right? Should we specifically pick a place?
Yeah, we got those prints. Let's find a spot on the blueprints.
I'll just give you a rundown of like notable floors and then you can kind of pick one of those if you want to. You've got the atrium, which is on the bottom floor. You've got the casino, the spa. There's the Garden of Glass. There's the security core, the engineering ring, arcane observatory, the crew commons. There's a vault deck, and then obviously the Grand Solarium.
And the vault deck is where the cargo is?
Cargo is on the security core, as a part of the security core.
Okay, shit. So we probably shouldn't be on the security core, but we can be close to it. What's adjacent?
What is around the security core is the Garden of Glass.
Yeah, let's go to that scary sounding place.
Which is a couple floors below, or the engineering ring.
I like the Garden of Glass if there's like a public area we can meet.
Yeah, sure.
Do we like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. All right, cool. We'll meet in the Garden of Glass. I got to go find a box and climb in there. So good luck, everybody.
So we'll kind of like, you know, move through this next section a little bit. You find yourselves emerging into this large, almost built like a football stadium, but it's the size of a small city. There is this like antechamber, essentially. It's fully underground, but it has these massive, like, probably the size of like a small ship, metal shards that hang from the ceiling, and you see they're kind of vibrating with that same energy that you saw the walls glow with, and they are like sending out like and illuminating this kind of area in like a warm, almost sunlight like way. And there is just houses, districts, sort of shopping areas, all kind of strewn up the side, almost like in a raked kind of banked area. And this, you know, is the capital city of Vaden. This is probably about 30%, 40% of the capital of the city of Vaden. The other kind of 60 to 70% is below this even further. Though below this, they just take on more kind of traditional like floors, essentially, as opposed to this sort of really large area. This is like the most sort of common area. This is where people sell goods, people trade. And the actual like houses themselves look like they're a real amalgamation. There's not much metal use. There's a lot of like wood. There's a lot of stone. There is a real, generally, especially on Anvil, more so probably than the other two, there's a real kind of religious connotations around metal. And it's one of the reasons why you never see guns typically used. Only kind of pirates or people who are seen as sort of, you know, a very unscrupulous people would use such a weapon, because it would be defiling a very precious
and religious resource. And so you don't see a lot of metal. Metal's only really used as like light sources, or you might see it occasionally like as a part of a church or a place of worship. You find your way up. There is these big kind of almost like elevator shafts that have nothing in them. But what happens as you kind of step onto or sort of into the elevator shaft, you can see this big drop below you and a sort of, you know, the shaft goes all the way up. And essentially, as you kind of think of a floor, you will start moving. Occasionally, you will get kind of, you'll come to a stop and you'll move into a recess in the pipe as someone else flies past you. And you'd know that typically it sort of automatically ranks people's travel by priority. So if you're like kind of richer or kind of more magical, etc., you'll kind of get priority access through the tube.
That sucks. That's awful.
And if you're not, then you have to kind of wait in a recess for a while. And so it can, during busy times, take quite a while to get around. But you manage to make your way up quite quickly and into these large kind of docking bays, which are essentially like above that kind of massive antechamber that you just saw. And this is where kind of access to the surface is available. Up above you, you can see kind of sandstorms swirling past these kind of glass windows and panels, which are above you. And there are stairs and things leading up. And you can see all manner of ships now in this area. There are live ships that seem to be made up of all different types of materials. Some of them represent animals almost and seem to be semi-organic with a mixture of metal and wood and things like that. There are other more kind of sci-fi looking ships. They take on all different shapes and sizes. And the one thing that you realize, and I think for those of you that have been to Vaden before, this is like an extreme melting pot. Probably more so than anywhere else on Axis. Vaden is like a complete culmination of people who have, you know, traveled through here, traded through here, etc. And this place is constantly shifting and changing. Everyone who would like to, please go ahead and roll me a perception check.
6.
19.
16.
Shadi, you see everything that I've just described, and you also see and you get distracted because there is actually a Dinky Wings shop. just sort of like a new Dinky Wings has just opened up. This wasn't here previously. And you like, now all you can think about is Dinky Wings.
Right. Perfect.
Tundra, and for Ollie, you look off down the causeway and just peeking through, you can see your ship, your original ship, the ship that you left from some time ago. The ship that you were on when you left on Bugsley in order to go and take this precious cargo to its final destination. I think you can probably see like Hubert kind of sort of wandering around, maybe taking some notes, looking, inspecting damage and things like that on the outside. Occasionally someone will talk to him, but he's just there chilling. They are waiting back at Vaden, which makes logical sense. That's probably the place that you would have left from.
I'm wondering, do I jump back to the Silverhawk and like try to communicate with Bugsley and get him set up as like a getaway? Does that sound smart? Is there a way? Do I know if there's a way I could like talk to Bugsley remotely?
Yeah. They're twins. So Bugsley originally was not a live ship. It was a like a built ship from Mardeen.
Yeah.
But then it was altered so that it now has a spruce on it, a spruce of the same tree that the Silverhawk is made out of, basically.
Sick.
So they're essentially like permanently twinned. So Bugsley does know where the Silverhawk is, but it might just be waiting for you. It's probably still waiting for you to return.
I'm going to detour to the Silverhawk and try to set up a line of communication as fast as I can while I'm keeping an eye out for like where the cargo is going in.
Okay. Are you going to just go up, or like, you know, are you sneaking? What's the vibe?
Yeah, I'll just walk into the Silverhawk if it's open.
Yeah.
Unless and show my papers and stuff.
Yeah, I'll say that Hubert kind of looks up and
hey, Hubie.
You made it. Marvelous. How was the drop off? Was it okay? A little longer than I expected you to be. It's been some time.
Yeah, and actually, we got to figure out one other thing real quick. I just got to run and grab something from my room, and then I'll pop right off and take care of it, and then we'll be good to go. I left the papers with the the signature.
Sure, yeah.
We had to get a manual signature because the pad wasn't working, and I start a lie that's just much too long until Huber hopefully gets bored and has to leave. And the problem with we tried to charge it, and of course that didn't work because we had the wrong outlets because we had a villain.
Go ahead and make me a deception check. And I'll give you advantage as well.
Advantage? On this.
Yeah, because I liked the rambly explanation.
19.
Okay, he goes, hey, listen, Ollie, I'm pretty busy. We've got
you. Say no more. I'll just take care of business and we'll be good to go.
Okay, but are all three of you back on the ship? Just because if not, I'll get a few extra crew hands. If you're taking a break, that's fine.
Yeah, they're on board.
Okay, we'll be setting off tomorrow afternoon. So
okay, sounds good.
Don't be late. Okay, marvelous. Okay, thanks, Ollie. Appreciate
okay, bye.
It. Glad you're. Okay.
Running as fast as I can through the halls. Absolutely breakneck speed as fast as I can to whatever the communication center is. I'll take an elevator up. I'll run up the stairs, whatever.
No, you're all good. So you get into Silverhawk pretty quickly. You make your way down into the root system. The root system is where the navigator typically exists. You don't need to talk to the navigator directly. You can just sort of make contact with the tree itself. The tree doesn't speak or communicate through language or spoken or written means. It usually sends sort of like images, things like that. But you can absolutely talk to it and sort of tell it to do something if you need to. So
I'll touch a root and close my eyes and just kind of like blast the image to Bugsley through the root system of an image of the cruise ship.
Okay.
And with the message of just like, you know, the image that also accompanies it is Bugsley itself, like flying at a safe distance out of detectable range and like inconspicuously. And then I will throw out another mental image of all three of us getting blasted out of some kind of airlock and then Bugsley picking us up inside for the explanation of, like, if you see us outside the ship, please get us.
Help. Yeah. You get blasted back an image of a pigeon wearing, like, full plate armor and holding a sword.
That's cute. What does that mean?
I think somehow, because of the way that these messages work, like, they sort of auto-translate in your brain, like they're kind of designed.
Yeah, yeah.
You get the sense that Bugsley's feeling very confident about his task.
Yeah, easy. Exactly. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
It's going to be easy. Probably fine. And then I run out of the ship and I'll resume regular search.
Great. Just go ahead and give me a straight investigation check as you look for the boxes, and we will come back to you presently. Tundra and Shady.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys? Where are you guys heading? So I believe the plan was, Tundra, for you to go through the like cargo elevators, which means that you'll need to basically ride on one of these like automatic arms that will be loading the ship up.
Cool.
Is that where you want to go?
Yeah, that's where I'm headed off to.
Great. I will not make you roll anything for this. I'll say that you managed to say goodbye to Shady and Urinal, and you make your way up onto the surface of Anvil. Do you think you've been on the surface in Vegaside much at all?
Probably not that much. Probably like a month altogether.
You've been up here like a handful of times. It's very rare that you would need to go up here. There's usually a lot of underground maneuvers. So you walk up and immediately, like, the sun, the Vega light that is filling this space is, like, blinding and so hot. Like, it's immediately, you can feel it burning your skin. And just as quickly as you feel it, it immediately passes and subsides as this ship pulls into view, sort of hovering above this port, way too big to actually dock down in the docks where all the other ships go. This sort of floating cathedral of sort of human achievement pulls into view. You see what appears to be maybe 80 floors top to bottom, a floating mega city made up of different floors. It kind of resembles that of a traditional cruise ship, but it's sort of more bulbous. It kind of becomes more sort of rotund. And at the top, you see all these different sort of decks, and like there's like a full-blown amusement park at the top of one part. There are literally like almost like endless things for you to look at. And you notice towards the back, kind of where you'd typically kind of imagine a captain's quarters or whatever it may be, there are these huge kind of towers. And at the top of the central tower, you see there is this almost compass-like ball that has all these kind of different shifting dials on it. And you see that as the sun's sort of hitting it, those dials and everything are just rotating round incredibly fast. And you know, just looking at it, that certainly is the Grand Solarium. There is a loading area off to the side. I won't even make you roll. There has been a whole kind of huge, probably like 200-300 foot tall piece of apparatus that has been built specifically to load things onto the ship. And it's loading it with like sort of quite ridiculous speed. It's just these sort of huge, long, thin metal pipes that are kind of almost like plugged into the ship, and along them there are like railings which are zipping kind of pile like parcels and packages and items and, you know, any number of things that are needed onto the ship itself. And so you know that essentially you need to go and, you know, get hold of one of those, crack it open and get inside, or try and hold on the outside. However, you do also have the box, so you've got to, you know, figure that out.
Okay,
so first roll I'm going to need is a stealth check as you get to the parameters of this giant apparatus that's been built, and you can see these drones that are flying around. The whole area seems to be completely unmanned by a human presence. Maybe there's like one guard and like a watchtower, but everything else is just sort of fully automated with these drones. So I'm going to need a stealth check.
I got a 16.
Okay. You basically using the box itself as cover. Like, if you see a drone getting nearby, you kind of drop and just sort of duck behind the box. And the box itself just looks like cargo, so there's no need for the drones to pick up on it. You find yourself at the precipice of this kind of large mechanical arm, which is picking up everything, like, in an order. And there is, like, a little gap in the conveyor belt where you could position yourself in the box. So my question to you is, are you going to try and put yourself in the box inside of another box and get picked up that way, or are you going to try and get the machine to pick up your box and you hold on to the outside?
I'm going to do myself in the box inside a bigger box.
Okay, in which case I'm going to need a luck check from you to see what box you open.
Oh God, guys.
It's full of spiders and snakes.
It's a Bush Tucker trial challenge inside of a box.
I got a 3.
Hey, a 3. That's exactly what George wanted this whole time.
No, there's another 3 in there. Don't worry.
Okay. You open this box, and there is, in fact, something living inside the box. It's a rather large crate, probably 10 or 15 foot across. And you open it up, just enough to, like, you know, wedge you in the cage, you in the box inside. You kind of get yourself in. It's all dark, and then you look over, and a sort of one set of eyes kind of boink, opens up, almost like a little torchlight. Green light kind of suddenly spills over you in the box, as these sort of somewhere in between organic and fully metallic lions stand up in a cage, like inside the box. But you see these kind of, they've got all of their like joints and everything are made up of like gears and cogs and wires. And there's sort of bits in between that almost look organic, but then when you look closer, you realize it's almost like a facsimile of fur or of flesh. And actually these creatures are entirely made of sort of metal, but they appear somewhat organic. And I don't know if Tundra's ever had any experience with Sim, which is the middle planet. These are made of the organic metal that is found on Sim. So essentially like an organic version of a warforged. And you realize there are multiple of these cages, kind of, there's probably about four of them, maybe kind of stacked in a cube together. And in each one of them, there is one of these rather large looking kind of lion, sort of cat-like creatures. And they kind of, one of them will look up at you and sort of slowly kind of trudge over. You can hear the metallic paws on the metal itself. I would like you, Tundra, to roll me an animal handling check.
Natural 20.
Hey.
Oh, sick.
That's what we love.
Tundra, you tell me, how do you sort of befriend this beast?
Well, I immediately like do the like handout thing that you do when you're meeting an animal for the first time. But I think I must know that these are like really protective creatures. And I want to try to get them to really want to protect me and the box. So I'm just going to, like, fake an injury while I get in.
Mm.
To, like, try to play on the sympathy.
I think that you get the sense that these creatures are quite sort of... They're of a slightly higher intelligence than, like, an average animal that you might find. Though nowhere near, like, speech or anything like that. And the one that was kind of walking over towards you definitely seems to have a sort of sympathetic bent towards you as it kind of, you know, sort of nuzzles its head kind of against these metal bars. And yeah, you get the sense that it's, you know, somewhat endeared towards you or friendly towards you. You then feel a as something kind of crashes into the side of the box and you feel it being picked up as you get the sense that you are now being loaded inside of the ship. And that is where we will cut to our third and final hero, Shadi.
Mm-hmm.
You are intending to book a room?
Yeah.
Okay. You, I'm assuming, sort of head over to control panel with Yernal. And Yernal's like, dude, mom and dad are going to be so pissed when they find out that you've dropped 25,000 credits on a room. That is good. Crazy.
Well, it's the only thing I could think of, man. Look, all right?
Dude, I'm happy about it.
Okay.
It's going to be so funny to see their faces.
Well, let's see. Hopefully they don't cut my head off or whatever, because that's the kind of stuff that they do now, I find out.
What do you mean, now you find out?
I don't know. I always thought they were just, like, mean. I didn't realize they were, like, send mythological monsters at my friends kind of people.
Whoa, that sounded like a specific scenario that's definitely happened. What? Do you care to explain?
I don't know if it's my story to share, but just so you know, my friend Tundra, she's got a pretty good reason to hate mom, is all I'll say.
Dude, yeah, okay, yeah, fair. Like, half the universe probably has reason to hate mom. She's the fucking worst. She's awful. Yeah, okay, well, listen, dude, just, you know, you don't get to being as rich as mom and dad are without being, like, awful people, okay?
Yeah, I guess I always knew that, kind of theoretically, but now it's, like, kind of just all crashing into my face, kind of.
And honestly, it's kind of worse because our family is, like, old money, you know what I mean? It's like, It's like mom's mom is also awful and dad's dad is also awful and, you know, you can go back, like, a couple of generations, you know what I mean? We're really bucking the trend because we're good people. So,
you know, we're all just trying to not be like our dads and moms.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least just sort of not have to deal with them. That's all I want really in life. It's just, you know, get out from under them and not have to go and play ball for like 10 years and like break my body because that's the only thing that would make dad happy. Anyway, oh shit. And as you look at the panel that you've been like tapping on, you see that like a surcharge or whatever, like a basically like all the tickets that are available have now been put up like to like an obscene price because they realize they can make sort of some last minute money on people, and so the cost of the suite now is 100,000 credits, which sort of like in context for the world of Axis is probably, I would say, equivalent to like, I don't know, like several million.
Jeez.
It's a lot. Like, it's a lot of money.
Just get a room. Don't get that suite.
No, definitely get the fucking suite, dude.
They'll be so pissed that you spent that on their own.
Screw it. I'm gonna eat all the snacks and drink all this.
Yeah, because they'll get taxed on that thing, which is awesome. I love it. Okay.
Yeah, Shaddy, like, kind of now seeing it as an opportunity to screw his parents over a little bit. Just
all the add-ons.
Yeah, just goes like, and clicks everything that every question that it asks. Like, would you like to add this? Would you like to add that? Would you like to add
so many
custom robe with monogrammed robe? Would you like to add free food every morning? Like, and just clicking every yes.
Every yes. Yeah, your grand total comes up to 150,000.
Yeah, and then just confidently whips out the card.
It comes up with thank you afterwards. You you have now booked passage on the Shades Mar for the next year.
Dang.
That is the length of this cruise. And it's a year long cruise.
I'm covered, dude. It looks like I rolled a 3, George.
Oh, man. I don't think so. I think that's mine. Maybe there's 2 3s.
Sort of prints off like a little ticket for you, just a little ticket, which is casually worth 150,000 credits. I think as what happens is you walk up to like the line, you know, where people are kind of getting in, and someone is now like coming down the line, just sort of checking people's tickets and stuff like that and making sure they're in the right place. They get to you and you see this kind of very like sharp nosed man who looks and goes, oh goodness. You are in the wrong place, sir. Please, you should follow me this way. And he sort of looks around you, and you've obviously got no luggage. And he's like, you don't have anything to check?
Like to travel light.
Right. Oh, of course. Did you have it preloaded? You probably had it preloaded. That's probably what you did.
And then Shaddy says, nope, I just travel light.
He's like, doesn't realize that was a great excuse.
You see that your brother immediately kind of goes, hey, maybe I'll just meet you on board, you know? Maybe it's just easier if I meet you on board.
And then Shaddy trying to be like he knows what he's doing, just the, like feigning confidence. He's like, yeah, yes, urinal, meet me on board. And like tips his hat like a rich person, like trying to like present himself as like a really rich guy.
Well, you are led up to this, like, to put, like, to say opulence as a word is like, this is like an 8-star Dubai Abu Dhabi hotel, right? You get bought into a marble lined elevator, which kind of takes you up, and you walk out into what is this bar kind of lounge area, which is where the sort of elite are being checked in the welcome atrium. And you notice that basically everything in here is made out of inertium, which is the metal that basically ignores kind of gravitational influences and creates its own. And so there are like dishes of drinks being like kind of floating around. There is food being floated around. There's people on like lounge and recliners who are kind of just being kind of almost like pushed by like invisible hands, essentially like across the room, floating over to windows. There's like some gorgeous soft sort of violin music being played. And I just need you to make me a persuasion check. Just how do you fit in this space? How does Shaddy kind of, you know, not draw attention to himself as he, you know, reclines here with in such an opulent surrounding?
That'd be a 3, folks. It'd be a 3 that I rolled. That's a solid 3. Another 3 for you, George.
Stop rolling them all. You're making it statistically less likely.
Yeah, that's going to be a failure.
Yeah. No kidding. 3 fails. Huh.
And you kind of... actually, you tell me. What does Shaddy do as he kind of walks into this room?
I think Shaddy kind of like, in an effort to look cool, as like one of the like inertium plates with like... champagne or whatever goes by, like reaches out to grab it, but like doesn't even look at it, and like just kind of like it flies by his hand and knocks all of the drinks off of it onto the ground. And then when he goes to like grab them, he like maybe like fumbles a little bit and kind of like bash, like headbutts a lady's butt and pushes her into a bunch of other people as he's like bending down to pick him up, and he headbutts a lady's butt, pushes her into a big group of people who then like knocks something else in.
Unhand me, vagrant!
I'm sure, and he pops back up like really confident. He's like,
So sorry, it seems like the technology here was made by poor people.
So true. And just immediately continue what they were doing. However, it is at this point that you see a rather large creature. A big kind of bald head, no neck, four eyes, sort of rather large eyes, and these kind of big, almost like tusk-like teeth poking out of like this gray-skinned, very serious face. It has four arms that look huge, probably as thick as your torso, these arms, as this somewhere in the region of 12-foot creature kind of stomps in, wearing a rather kind of old-fashioned-looking military uniform with sort of, you know, jacket sort of buttoned across the chest, looking very kind of buttoned up, approaches you and says,
"I'm so sorry, sir. I'm going to need you to step this way. There seems to have been a problem with your payment. I know. I don't wish to make a scene. Just think we can get this resolved nice and quickly, and then you can be back to relaxing. I apologize for this inconvenience."
Shaddy just takes out the card and just says, "Just take the card. Do whatever you need to do."
Yes, but we have to do a identity verification to make sure that the owner of the card is in fact the persons aboard the ship. You understand?
So I come with you?
Yes, it's just because the card was sort of declined, not because of insufficient funds, but because of security alert. So we just need to double check. What is your name?
Shaddy, not even thinking that it might be a good idea to pretend to be someone else, just says Shaddy Turlet.
His face kind of drops a little bit, and he goes,
"Right, yes. If you wouldn't mind, just step this way with me."
Shaddy like looks over to the like woman that he knocked over, and it's just like, "Gotta go take care of some business." Kind of just looks around at everybody, like, like really trying to make it seem like he's cool.
Truly, no one gives a single shit about you. Like, everyone's just so self-absorbed in doing their own thing. Everyone has moved on. That was like last week's news. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. If you'd like to hear more, please check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon. This episode was produced by 12 Sided Studios. Producers are me, Jasper William Cartwright, Jess Jewell, and Chad Pytel. Our social media manager is Ellie Crook, and the episodes are edited and sound designed by the wonderful Oliver Moore. Our cast for this arc is Aaron Keefe, John Mackey, and George Primavera. And me, your GM. Thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.